welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
I am your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping Season 6, Episode 17, titled Sunglasses at Night. But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
Yo, have you ever tried to just look into a microphone?
I muted myself, no.
Like, I'm over here trying to, I looked at it and I was like, I feel like my eyes are crossed. Like, you just can't look into it. And I was like, is it my glasses? I have no idea. But in case you're looking over here, like, what is wrong with her? I'm trying to look at my microphone and I think my eyes are getting tripped up by the amount of like crisscrosses and they cannot figure out where to focus. And I'm having a really hard time existing. On that note, trivia for Terry. First question, have you tried to look into a microphone? And the answer is apparently no. How many other questions do I have this week? Let's find out. Well, I have 6 questions. A bitch was busy.
Well, yeah, there's nothing else going on in this episode. So it's like you gotta give us something.
Every time. All right, so my first question was, how does Spinner pay Mr. Del Rossi?
In cash. What
form of payment? There you go. Okay, I can look in the microphone now. It's just that my glasses were busy. They were dirty. Yes, he pays in
because
cash.
Because he doesn't trust. Doesn't trust banks.
Yes. Where does Spinner think that Dylan moved? I knew it came up.
Okay. Is the correct answer Switzerland and they all think he moved to Sweden?
Bingo. Good job.
Okay.
Who owns the repair shop? I don't know whose repair shop. Oh, I know who.
Oh my God. Because isn't this the repair shop that Sean used to work at too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That man walks in. What is his name? I have no clue.
Tony.
Okay. That adds up for like a repair shop name.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say it. So all of our fans can cancel you. How much money did Marco lose?
Oh, was it 1700 or 1500?
1100.
Oh my God. So I knew neither. It was something. Yeah. No, something OD though.
Where is Darcy and Peter's secret spot?
Where the hell are they? Somewhere in Degrassi. The janitor's closet? The janitor's...
It's a place where they visit multiple times throughout the series.
Throughout the series? Oh, uh-huh. The park?
The boiler room. That's where all the couples go.
Oh!
I believe so. I think they said it, but I feel like the custodian may have walked in, so maybe you're wrong. Or maybe I'm wrong. That's what I mean.
It could be the boiler room, though. It was way bigger than a janitor's closet, but I just know that the janitor walked in.
Mm-hmm.
This girl.
Last question. How much money did Marco steal from his dad?
$600?
Yes. So you got 1, 2, 3. You got a 50% this week. Good work.
Okay. Not bad.
I mean,
not
that's
bad.
Not good, but we're at least here. Okay.
I was there, right? Couldn't tell you much about Darcy and Peter's storyline, obviously, because what are they ever doing?
Nothing. So, actually, I don't know if you have any tidbits, but this is actually a fun week for comments from our peanut gallery, I guess, because we also had a response to one of our episodes, and I don't know if it was last week. It wasn't from last week's episode. It's a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I asked a question, and I sent it to you, and I don't remember what the question I asked was at all. I have to pull it up. It was like, do you think that like Emma and Sean should have gotten back together or something? Mm. And the person whose name, I guess they wrote Anna. So Anna, if you want to be anonymous, I hope Anna stands for anonymous. Anyway, they said, I don't think so. I'd personally rather Sean, they said him, but I assume it's Sean, get back with Ellie, but it was better than her as an Emma with pervy Peter. So yeah, that I actually agreed with that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Emma with Sean than with Peter's nasty ass.
Yeah, I don't even know how we're still even having any of the Degrassi female characters dating Peter, but here we are.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Sean and Emma are very classic, or yeah, like classic Degrassi Next Generation. So I could get behind it just for the cause.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, started from the bottom and now we're here.
Right.
Did you want to read the email from in our inbox? Because look at somebody actually emailed us.
I know they really did, which means maybe they just listened to that episode, because I don't think we talked about the healthcare system last episode either. It was a couple episodes back.
I mean, if you ever listen to me, I complain about the healthcare system in general a lot.
So yeah.
It's really hit or miss. Did we? Didn't we? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember talking about it.
So they write, Hi, Chris and Terry. I dated someone who was from Manitoba, and although they have free healthcare, it is true that they have to wait for hours. I believe one time she broke her hand, and she waited 6 hours in the urgent care facility. The universal healthcare system results in their facilities always being packed, even though she didn't have to pay a fee. Also, they have restrictions on private healthcare, and they have bans on much private doctors can charge. So while some go private, it's not lucrative, as it shouldn't be, because no one wants to pay the fees. Although I wonder how much it costs to get a medical degree in Canada. Anyway, from my understanding, I think people in the healthcare system get paid way less than those in the U.S. because of those reasons. I think Fishers get paid way more in Canada than the U.S. because of profit. Thus, it leads to fewer doctors and nurses working in these fields. I hope this answers your question.
Yeah.
I do want to say I did go to urgent care a couple weeks ago after Christmas. And while I did not wait that long, my provider was on an iPad stand. And actually, I think we did talk about this, because
that might be what we talked about last. Yeah.
And if you're going to like the ER, you could wait 6 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's everywhere. I'm also in a major city, so maybe that has an impact on it. But like, you're not going to the ER for less than 3 hours, because you're going, someone's examining you, then they have to send you for tests, then the person who has to do the test has to be there. They're doing the entire hospital. So if you go to the emergency room, you're waiting a long time here. I don't know. I assume urgent care and emergency room are two different things in this scenario. But yeah, so basically we're paying money and we're still waiting.
Yeah, that's wild. I guess, right. And what I was saying too before we started recording is just like, of course, when something's like universally free, they're going to find a way to just make it more expensive or give something like make you want to have to pay for it pretty much. Because obviously if you're going to go somewhere and have like a really long wait, you would maybe pay for like a private doctor or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or like in a better system. I will say I've only ever been to the emergency room once, thank goodness, knock on wood. And I must have been really lucky, because it was the same day I had a flight to go back home. And I like went at like 11 in the morning and I was like able to be out by 2 p.m. and there was no one there. But from where I'm from originally, just like driving past the emergency room, there's tons of people in there all the time. So I guess it really depends on where the hell you're located.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between like whether or not they believe that you might be dying. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not dying, you're waiting in that ER for like 6 hours.
Yes.
So you gotta 100%. Be dying when you go in, or you're going to wait. I did actually go to the ER like 3 years ago. And while it was pretty empty, I think most of my wait time was for the additional follow-up exams. Mm-hmm. I was pregnant at the time, so they were then limited on what they were able to do, which is kind of a pain in the ass. But I mean, it was a relatively quicker than expected visit. It's just really hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And you got to present like you're dying. Although there was that woman that I keep seeing stories about in Canada who did die because she waited for so long to be seen. So
oh, damn.
She was dying and she didn't get seen.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't win anywhere. They'll try to sell you on Canada because of universal healthcare, but here we are.
Yeah. So life is a scam, so scam other people.
It is. Thank you for writing in, though. That was very kind of you to take the time to respond to us and share your story, because we would have just probably brought it up again next week. I'm like, we still don't know.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for writing in. To anyone who writes in, to anyone who talks to us, I am going to let our reoccurring fan in our inbox on Instagram know that I have had the busiest day of my life, and hopping on this podcast to record right now at 8 p.m. is the first time I've been able to sit down. So we do have somebody in our inbox who we've been messaging back and forth with, and I have been really shitty about responding to them. I'm going to apologize in person, but now you're hearing me apologize also on air that I am going to get on my shit. I swear. tell my job to stop making me do my job. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because when Kid Perry did that, y'all really called up his job. So do not.
That is actually the funniest story. And if no one else knows what we're talking about, I just really need you to go on YouTube and search up Kid Fury on YouTube. And I think the video is still there. You'll get it. Like, God. Search Kid Fury. What did he work? A call center job?
Yeah.
Kid Fury call center job. And a video or a debrief will pop up, and it's the funniest thing ever.
Were please there don't not do like some like legal that. Ramifications for him in there or something?
Right.
Yeah. So actually, allow my job to keep letting me do my job because it pays my bills. But like, please show me some grace. Thank you. Do you have any tidbits to share?
No, I didn't. So all the inbox communication and emails and stuff like that really helped me out this week. So thank you again for that, friends. We can get into the episode.
All right. So for our plot B this episode, Peter is interrupting the meeting of Friendship Club to claim that his mother used him to seek Darcy out. Darcy's little friend Kim gives Darcy a suspicious eye, as anyone with a brain would do, because why would she be using Peter to summon Darcy instead of using the announcement system?
Right.
As Darcy immediately leaves the club to meet with Peter, he ends up giving her a necklace with a key on it because it's the key to his heart. And did I vomit? A little bit. I hate Peter and Darcy. I might hate Peter and Darcy more than I hated JT.
Wow. Well, now JT's not even here, so.
Exactly. But I do think that we're kind of, so I think TV shows kind of go through, I don't know, you know, when you grow up with a certain cast and then they start phasing out your OG characters and phasing in new characters, there is an adjustment period where you have to get used to them and you're not really invested in them. They come in as really horrible people. They're not who you started off with. I personally just hate new people. Automatically. So relatable. We were already off to a bad start. And so I am currently entering an era of Degrassi where I just hate everyone in the cast, and it's nothing against them really. It's just that like I don't like new people and they're not my OGs. So
Yeah.
But yeah, so just please take that with a grain of salt when I talk about how much I hate Peter and Darcy's extensions. So now we're in media immersion and Darcy and Peter get into this weird little spat in front of everyone. Peter accuses Darcy of having eye fat. Later they rush into the boiler room to make out and they're caught by the custodian. Darcy then cancels an assignment with Kim so she can meet up with Peter, and she gives this tired ass my grandma excuse to get out of her obligations.
What did anyone's grandma ever do to them? Because Paige did the same thing.
Like, leave your grandma out of it.
She literally said, now why am I in it?
Exactly what I was thinking.
That is so trifling.
You ain't lying. So, of course, surprise, surprise, guess who walks in on them? It's Kim, finding Darcy and Peter making out on the bench. She's rightfully pissed. Girl, we had an assignment.
Right. It's not like y'all were just gonna go to the mall or something. Like, y'all got work to do.
Y'all are so dumb. So Kim, of course, the snitch that she is, goes to snitch to Peter's mom. And now Peter's parents are talking about sending him to boarding school. I want to tell you that I might have screamed because Peter asked Darcy if she believes that love conquers all. And what? But also, love did not conquer her trip to Kenya. Darcy who?
You know what's really funny is the nerve of y'all to not send Peter to boarding school, especially an all-guy boarding school when you think about it, after he leaked those photos of Manny. That would have been a great time to ship his ass off, but because he continually has a girlfriend, and this girlfriend actually could put him on the right path, because you know it's Captain Save-A-Ho over here. She saved Spinner. Like, this is probably the right girl for him, right? Mm-hmm. But now you want to ship him off to boarding school?
And, like, actually, let's rewind. Emma wasn't a bad girlfriend for him either.
No.
Emma wasn't. Y'all know I go in on Emma, but she wasn't the problem with Peter, and nor is Darcy. In fact, Manny wasn't the problem either. Peter is the problem. So, like, if anything, having a girlfriend is going to make Peter better, especially Captain Save-A-Ho Darcy.
Yeah.
But, like, him having a girlfriend is not the problem.
No, at all. Like, he has way more going on. And honestly, a lot of that can be attributed to, again, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, his parents and the fact that they treat each other like trash when they interact in front of him. And they probably did that their whole, or like his whole existence, because they're divorced now too. So like, y'all are actually also a big part of the reason he acts like that, because he's probably just looking for attention.
Child, because the way, I just want to say, I don't know shit about shit, except I actually know a lot of things. And do as I say, not as I do is a shitty parenting strategy. Mm-hmm. So like, act how you want your children to act. Every single time I have a rude ass kid in school, I'm just like, because that's how they talk to him at home. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like this kid being rude to me at all. But the reason he's speaking to me like this today is because that's how people talk to him at home. And I need y'all to realize that. So instead of getting offended, realize that he's talking to you like he knows.
Yeah.
And Peter's acting, I mean, partly like he knows, but also just because he's a menace.
Yeah, 100%. It's funny, though, because it's like Kim taking it back to like the school thing. Like, I don't know if I would go that far. I probably wouldn't talk to Darcy, but to like, no, go back to school and snitch to your principal on her son and what he's doing outside of school is so wild to me.
Like, yes.
Girl, mind your business.
Exactly. Like, Kim, you're such a little rat. Like, come on, girl.
Yeah, that was really whack of her. I mean, she also says like two words this whole episode, but girl, bye.
Anyway, so Darcy tells Peter that she'll be waiting at their secret spot after school the following day. And if he believes that love conquers all, he'll be there too. Okay, I just want to rewind. Earlier I said Peter asked Darcy if love conquers all. Darcy asked Peter if love conquers all. Anyway, I need to know how and when Darcy decided to, like, to hell with internet predators. Like, when was she just like, it's love? I'm not mad about the Adams things anymore. But anyway, Peter tells Darcy that if they're sending him away, he has nothing to lose. And they end the episode with a very passionate kiss. Ew.
Boring.
All right. So anything else before we go on to plot A?
Nope. That's all I got for that and them.
All right. So I know I said in the last episode that Emma's presentation was the most unhinged chaos that I've seen in Degrassi in all ages. But I'm going to let you know that to this date, it is actually Marco's gambling addiction.
Yeah, we can only top it.
Mr. Del Rossi helped to install an alarm system at Sasquatch Wear Design Store. And as I mentioned every episode, I am still wondering why it is still here.
Yes, no, because I also made the note of like the lack of continuity this season specifically is like, how did they get robbed at this store? Open the store in like 2 days, get robbed at the store in 3 days, then decide that they're going to close the store. Everything's up for clearance. They sell absolutely nothing. They bring Paige back to suddenly be a manager, and now they need a security system.
Like, we're all so confused.
I think I also looked up the fact that they got robbed in episode 7. So it's been 10 episodes and they just got a security system.
And we're still here. We're still here. And I don't think anyone knows why.
No.
So here we are. Marco is eerily resembling Craig as he sits hunched behind a computer screen. He acting like an addict over there.
Right.
Spinner approaches Marco to discuss his mood shift, because Marco's mood has changed, and we learn that Marco has not spoken to Dylan since he moved to Switzerland. Marco is upset because he misses Dylan. Do you know any idea how hard it is to go from always having somebody there to just being alone? He asks. Anyway, when I read that, I thought, like, every woman I know who's with a cis-het straight man, whatever, cannot relate to this man, this complaint, because we all be like, look, we're willing to plan a trip for you and your friends to get you the fuck out of my face.
We'd actually love to be alone.
You are here too much, and I would like to see you less. But maybe that's just me and my friends. Maybe we're the wrong ones.
Maybe we're the problem.
So Marco's upset because he misses Dylan, as I said. And also, I just wanted to give a note that this is not about the straight relationships and how we are not okay. I mean, we're not okay. Because this is about Marco and how Spinner remarks that Marco becomes so wrapped up in his boyfriends that he doesn't have much of a life or an identity outside of his boyfriends. Pep talk gets ignored, though, because Marco celebrates winning $200 via online gambling. So Spinner's like, you know what? You can bring a horse to some vodka, but you can't make him... I don't know. He would probably fuck up that phrase somehow.
Yeah, he'd find a way.
Later, back at the rooming house, Paige enters whispering, and we learn that Ellie wasn't okay with Paige going after Jesse. I can't believe that we have two additional roommates in this house if we never see, but we're constantly referencing. I don't know, I'm just here. Marco tells Spinner that he wants to go to Daytona Beach for spring break, and Spinner tells him, spring break, eh? And I just want to say that Alex and Spinner are notorious for adding A to the end of their sentences.
I definitely noticed that with Alex last episode.
Mm-hmm. Spinner gets excited, but he can't go because he's broke, but Marco has a plan. Playing online poker, said dumbest plans ever. Why is my cat being a menace right now at the same time that your dog is being a menace?
Yeah, let's be real.
Things couldn't go well for too long without Jason the Menace coming out from the shadows to suggest more terrible ideas. He invites Marco to a more serious game of poker with his coworkers, and you can see the wheels turning on Marco. He's like, yes, obviously this makes sense.
Jay really does always pop up when illegal things are happening.
He is the one with the bad ideas.
I have not seen him in episodes, but suddenly when poker is involved, he has some, like, a whole plan to, or plays them regularly. Of course he does, because what else would he be doing? Nothing legal.
Exactly. He just gets on my nerves so much, the way they end up, like, doing this ring somehow at Tony's. How did you think that was okay, Jason?
Right.
And do y'all not have houses? Where do y'all live?
You know what else I was trying to figure out? How was Marco cashing out from online poker in, like, the early 2000s? Like, it wasn't Venmo.
I have no idea, girl.
Like, how are you wiring that money from the computer to cash?
I have no... You ask a great question that I don't know.
Don't make no sense.
Anyway, so Marco is sadly sending yet another email to Dylan while Paige and Ellie are involved in a bickering match. Ellie is angry that Paige took Dylan's room and that Paige got with Jesse. Then they yell for Marco to intervene, and he tells them that they can work out their problems without him, and he tells them to shut up. Marco's haircut has him out here looking like a peacock, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, you can tell he's going through something, because what's going on with his hair?
So Marco's running off with his peacock haircut to gamble away all of his money with Jay's poker buddies. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times. If Spinner knows that an idea is stupid, then it is a very stupid idea.
Yeah, honestly, you should be concerned.
I was sitting there watching this, like, I mean, I could use some money for a trip, so now, like, maybe I should get into online gambling? But no, it's a bad idea. Marco says that he's boring like mashed potatoes, and he's looking for a rush. I think he should have just done cocaine with Craig. As an anxious person, like the original Marco, it brings me great stress to watch him play this poker game and go all in due to his overconfidence. He ends up taking the entire pile, and it would have been great if he would just walk away at this point, but it wouldn't be a Degrassi episode if he did. And this is precisely why I do not go into casinos. First of all, you're, like, literally throwing away money, but also because I would be like Marco and I could not walk away either. I can't gamble.
Yeah. When we went to Vegas, funny enough, I think you were gone by this point. The one time we did go to the casino, I put like $20 in a like Wheel of Fortune slot machine and I lost it. And I was like, well, that's all I got. So not made for it either. It's too much risk and not enough reward for me.
I agree. I'll sometimes walk around, and this is, I'm certain, against somebody's rules. I don't give a shit. But people will live like 10 cents on the machines, 25 cents on the penny slots. And I'll take that shit and put that on another machine. So it'll keep me occupied long enough, but it's not my money.
There you go.
All right. So Marco on this gambling victory rush is hilarious. Spinner has a test and Ellie has to write a paper. So Spinner tells Marco that, Marco, you're being an asshole, which is rich coming from Spinner, but I guess Spinner's not really an asshole now. I don't gamble, nor do I spend time with people who gamble, and I need to know if this is like genuinely how extreme gamblers act.
And so quickly, too, because he literally just picked it up like this week and he fell into it. And then we also randomly learned that his dad gambles, too. Like, okay, yeah, that's a new story.
Yeah, you bet on horses at the race.
That's a new one.
I don't understand gambling, because it's, you're really just losing money.
Yeah, I would understand people that would like to scam more, because your ultimate goal is to get more money and not necessarily spend it or like give it back. But with gambling, you just really, it's give and take, more so give.
Mm-hmm.
Give and lose. There is actually random a TV show called a series called Bookie on HBO Max, and it's literally about like people that gamble, and like he's literally a bookie, and it's so interesting. It's a really good show. I don't know how people get to where they are though, because like the opening episode is a man getting kicked out of his house because he pretty much lost his house, and then his wife is trying to divorce him. So I don't get how people get that far, but that's not to judge. That's just to say that's wild.
I agree. I'm here. You know, I'm just existing on vibes right now. I'm trying to remember where the fuck we left off. Marco and his gambling addiction. As to be expected, to everyone's, like, we all expected except for as Marco. He loses all of his money and he begs for a loan so he can buy back in when the guy who owns the repair shop catches them. Tony is not happy, so he kicks them out. I'm confused because, again, as I said earlier, why don't they have homes that they can play poker in?
Yeah. Does everyone live with their mom or, like, I don't get it.
Spinner decides that he's not getting involved with gambling anymore, and he tells Marco that I'm out. And he suggests that Marco go home or talk to his dad or get help because he needs to stop, too. Marco does not take Spinner's advice and that he goes to his parents' home, but he ends up stealing money from his dad and leaving. So that went well.
Yeah, so trifling.
We next find Marco playing poker at the store, and he remarks that if anyone discovers him, he's dead. Marco starts to lose his money again, only for the police to decide they're going to do their job that evening, and they barge in to break up the game. How can y'all show up to break up a game, but you weren't there when Jimmy was getting his ass robbed? Except to be like, you guys don't have the right permits.
Crazy.
Apparently there was that was a silent alarm. You would think Marco would have realized the alarm was there, considering his dad just installed it. And now Marco is under arrest for trespassing. Marco's funny because he asks them if they have a murder they could be solving. And yeah, that's the thought that crosses my mind every time I see a speed trap. Like, are y'all don't have nothing else you could be doing right now?
Right. Bored.
Anyway, so Spinner shows up to the store and he is not happy to see Marco. He lets Marco be arrested and everything because that's how pissed he was. Mr. Del Rossi comes by the house later to ask Marco about his arrest and the missing $600. Marco admits that he was in the hole, so he stole it. He's like, I just feel empty without Dylan. And he's like, Dylan's my boyfriend. And Mr. Del Rossi asks Marco, do you think I'm stupid? And I thought it was hilarious because I thought he was being sarcastic, like, obviously that's your boyfriend. Like, did you think I was fucking stupid? But actually, I think he was really more like, that was the dumbest shit you could have tried to come up with to get out of this. Like,
the denial is actually wild.
Yes. But yeah, so that's, I just thought that was a really funny response. Anyway. I was wondering, do you think that Marco admitted that Dylan is his boyfriend as like a means to deflect from the $600? or do you think he was trying to open up to his dad?
That is actually a good question, because I could see it as a deflection. Only because since when does he want to be so open? But then again, Margo's down bad. So I think it's both. Like, I think it's like a cry for help. And also like, oh, by the way, like, this is why. Because we'll never understand otherwise.
No, we over here in the dark and we ain't ever going to know.
Yeah.
All right. So Mr. Del Rossi goes in on Margo and he tells him that you have messed up entirely and you need to leave Dylan's name out of it. He does accept Margo as his son, but he tells Margo that you're going to have to work off your debt. The moral of the episode is that people leave. You have to live your own life. And that's what Marco's dad says to him.
I didn't even actually have a moral, so that's a good one.
It's the best I got. Yeah. And you know, I usually never have one.
Yeah, no. My moral, don't be trifling, because why are you stealing from your dad? That is so crazy.
We're at 31 minutes, so... And we're both tired. It's 9 o'clock. I gotta edit this episode. You ready to wrap it up?
Yes, let's do it.
Next on Degrassi, Alex becomes a waitress at a gentleman's club when she and her mother start drowning in financial debt. But she soon finds out there's more money to be made on stage. Meanwhile, Emma is upset when Sean's plans for the future do not include her. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airwaves this time next week. Whatever it takes.